The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Yes, indeed, ladies and gents. Welcome to another final hooter. My name's Adrian Jackson. I'm joined by David Parkinson. And David, what an interesting couple of weeks of rugby league we've had.
Tell you what, you can't beat it, can you? All the action has really hotted up over the last couple of weeks. We've seen some top-class games, particularly last weekend, where I thought Saints-Wigan was an excellent encounter, as was Huddersfield against Hull Kingston Rovers as well.
As always, going to kick it off with the good, the bad and the ugly. In the good, common sense prevails as an independent panel upheld the RFL's decision to deduct 6 points from the Bradford Bulls. And like I said, common sense prevails, because if they hadn't have upheld the decision, what message would we have sent out if the Bulls would have got the points back?
I think the other thing that has to be considered with that point as well is, what about all the counterclaims that would have been made? I mean, everybody who's ever had points deducted, we could have been going back to, you know, Wakefield 2002 or even further. You know, where does it all end?
Exactly. The recent Commonwealth Rugby League Nines tournament held in Glasgow, involving teams from around the world, and it was eventually won by Papua New Guinea of all countries. Hopefully, it will be a permanent fixture for the Commonwealth Games. It's good to see International Rugby League having a run out.
Maybe that shows as well the strength that is coming through in Papua New Guinea and places like that as well. I'll tell you what, if I have one rugby league dream and one rugby league fantasy to fulfil, it would be to take in a couple of weeks in Papua New Guinea and to actually experience the true nature of the sport over there.
The bad, it's been steadily increasing, and that's players other than the captain gathering around to argue and question the match officials, as witnessed during the recent St Helens and Wigan match. I think it's about time, Dave, we clamp down on all this, because if we don't, we're going to lose the thing that other sports look on at rugby league enviously, which is the respect of match officials amongst the players.
We could end up like football, couldn't we? I mean, Wellens and John Wilkin were never more than 3 foot away from the referee,
like
all the way through the
shoulder,
game.
Wasn't it?
It was, yeah. Just like, shut up, John, you're not the captain. I'll speak with Paul. Now, I don't think it's been changed at all, has it, that rule in where the referee can only speak to the captain, or the captain can only speak to the referee. So, you know, let's have less chatter from our players and more play, please.
The obstruction, really. Everyone's favourite thing at the minute, isn't it?
I like it.
It's been recently reorganised and restructured, but boy, I don't know anyone who's a fan of it other than you. It's going to get worse until we get used to it, but when's that going to happen?
I mean, to be fair, at the moment, referees are giving, what, 2, maybe 3 penalties a game at least, disallowing flowing movements.
Mentioning the a game, was it Huddersfield? Huddersfield game recently, surely that was a try.
Well, I think as well, you also got to go back a couple of months when it all started off, and the game that really sort of signified it for me was that one where Salford played against Wigan on that horrible evening where, you know, Salford were dreadful. Wigan weren't that much better, but to be honest, could have scored about 6 or 7 tries but for video referee rulings against obstruction. So, you know, where does it all end? I get the feeling that if you're going to bring a ruling or an interpretation of a rule,
start of the season.
Yeah, you can't just go changing you can't go changing halfway through the season. Tell you what, we might as well have it if they're going to start doing that. What about St Helens not playing in a red V? That's as drastic as it can be, isn't it? You know, you just wouldn't do it, would you? You don't do it. You don't see other sports.
I'd like to see Saints playing hoops and see what they look like.
We'll end up with 100 angry Saints fans banging on our door, won't we?
Oh, Warrington in red and white.
Shh. Sacrilege.
Okay, we'll move on then, shall we? The ugly rugby league, Bradford's decision not to accept their punishment and fate by now deciding to drag the game through the High Court. This is something the game and the sport of rugby league could do without.
Yeah, again, I'm in agreement with you. It's very rare that we do agree on things, isn't it, Adrian? Usually I've got a casing point which argues the defence, but Bradford are indefensible, to be honest. It's been the biggest soap opera that's been going on.
Do you obviously feel Mark Green and the rest of the board at Bradford, they've got a good argument and a good cause to really push it, despite it already being decided by an independent panel, you haven't got a case.
It's starting to sound too much like a soap opera story from Emmerdale, isn't it? They should just pack up and accept their fate. And if that means relegation, it means relegation. Bradford can survive. Bradford will flourish. They've got young players galore. They've already had Adam O'Brien, who said that he's going to be stopping regardless of whatever the outcome is. If they get relegated, he's standing by them. And if they stop up, he's standing by them as well. So when you've got that sort of commitment from a local young player, it shows that there is plenty of spirit left in the camp, doesn't it?
We can't have an ugly without mentioning Todd Carney's antics in Australia, unfortunately. The footage I saw in the morning put me up in cornflakes, it's got to be said. But it does highlight the power of social media. And today's players need to learn and be aware of what it's like, because if they don't, they're going to have to suffer the consequences.
Well, let's get this straight. He's not the first player that's been caught with hijinks, shall we say, but you've got to be really careful with it these days, haven't you? I mean, out there in the modern world, even in a world of employment, you can get sacked for putting certain things on social networking. And to be honest, the sort of images that were appearing on Twitter, they weren't very nice. And, you know, we really could do without that type of thing. What it could mean is that somebody actually gets a good player in Super League, because he's been sacked by the NRL, hasn't he? So where's he going to be looking for his next payday? It's going to be over here, isn't it?
Well, Hull FC have already said he's not their kind of player.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, they prefer Leon Price, don't they, actually? You know, he's gone there for a couple of seasons, and why not? But, it would be good if other British clubs would turn around and have that, because we've had too many players who have, misbehaved. You go back and, you know, Julian O'Neill, I'm thinking, from the mid-90s, and then when he came over again playing for Wigan at the back end, and Widnes, there was that famous incident, wasn't there? Infamous incident when Widnes went on tour in Australia, you know, and it really, the game could do without it, and players, you're right, they need to set an example, because there's especially with the world of social networking, there's a lot of people who can get a lot closer to players, or certainly get that feeling for them than they ever have been before, and they need to be aware that they are role models for the sport.
Well said, Mr. Parkinson, you get my vote.
I'm kicking the soapbox under the desk now.
That is the good, the bad, and the ugly, and Todd Carney, I'm sure, no, more than likely would end up probably in Super League.
Well, I wouldn't touch him with a barge pole.
Okay, leave it at that then. Right, moving on, let's just talk about the action, shall we? We've had two rounds of Super League, two rounds of the Championship as well, so we're going to be talking about that. But the pick of the action from round, is it 18 of Super League, the last round?
The week just gone, yeah.
No, the week before.
That was round 17.
Okay, round 17. Keep up, Adrian. Come on, pick of the action for me. Castellan Dragons defeating Hull FC 20 points to 16.
It was a great game.
Result for the Dragons.
Sorry, yeah, nearly had it stereo then. It was a great game, wasn't it? I mean, the Dragons have been very, very good at home over recent weeks. And again, they did all the damage in the first half, building a 16 points to 4 advantage. And although Hull scored a couple of tries just after the hour mark, well, they were still second best, weren't they? And ultimately, Catalan deserved their win. For me, the result of that particular week was involving St Helens. I thought they were really good getting back on track, taking down Castleford Tigers 38 points to 16. Makinson getting back on the scoreboard. I think he's in great form at the moment. Paul Wellens grabbing a couple of tries. Even young Percival grabbing a couple of tries as well, with Walsh back on kicking form with 5 goals.
Try of the week from round 17. Joe Mellor's effort right at the death of that game against Leeds Rhinos. Okay, Leeds Rhinos won the game, but Mellor back from injury for the Vikings. Picks the ball up, races 90 metres. Try of the week for me.
Is that the one where some of the rugby press just seem to ignore
it? Seem to gloss over it.
They said, and Joe Mellor scored.
He's not a cracker.
Not the fact that he went 90 metres and beat half the team.
Yeah, exactly.
It's ridiculous.
But a good game that was, and Leeds Rhinos getting a well-deserved victory at the end of it.
Yeah, definitely. And I also think as well, Huddersfield have returned to a little bit of form over recent weeks, haven't they? They've gone, is it nine wins in 10 games? They're certainly pushing the right end of the table now after, shall we say, a dodgy start to the season, but it does seem to be coming good. They've got the main playmakers playing some good stuff at the minute.
Certainly have. Unfortunately, London Broncos, one of the teams that lost out to Huddersfield, just can't seem to buy a win.
No, it doesn't matter how well they seem to play. They just haven't got that winning mentality, have they? And, you know, sadly, they look like they're going to be tumbling out of Super League at a rate of knots, don't they?
And how can we forget Wigan Warriors' shock defeat at the hands of Wakefield?
great result. I mean, that was magnificent. Wakefield were brilliant on the day. Interesting to note as well, they had six different scorers. And good to see Paul Sykes resurrecting that half-back pairing that he's got with Tim Smith and doing really well too. And yeah, they played Wigan off the park, didn't they, over the closing stages of that game. I don't know about you, but moving on to round 18... the pick of the results for me was that one. Leeds Rhinos just pipping Catalan by a point, 32 points to 31. Even the Leeds boss said that, you know, they shouldn't really have won it, and Catalan were fully deserving of it. Again, plenty of different scorers. Moon scoring two tries in that game too. And then you had an outstanding draw between Wakefield and Hull. Just shows that, you know, Super League at its best can be really, really competitive when you get two evenly matched sides. I already mentioned Hull Kingston Rovers against Huddersfield, which was again a very, very close game. Liam Patrick being the game breaker in that one, grabbing two tries since he went on off the bench. And the close games kept on coming, didn't they? Castleford Tigers 14, Salford Red Devils 10. So
yeah, the Tigers' first win since he made it to the semi-final. They had a bit of a cup hangover, didn't they, in recent games, but they got back to winning ways. And Salford just shows you that they are slowly improving.
And the interesting thing about that one as well is that when Jake Webster went over and scored, it was in the 80th minute, so it was a late, late result for Cass Tigers as well, wasn't it?
So it was a late, late result. Anyway, I caught up with Tom Briscoe after the game between Widnes and Leeds, and this is how he felt the game went.
I think we started off well, and then we went away from what were working for us, and then we came out at half time and got back to what were working for us, and then at the end they just pipped a lucky try really, but I think there's a lot for us still to work on, and we're going in the right direction though.
That's a great start. So are you disappointed in only being 10 up with all that possession and territory?
I think that's credit to our witness. I think we threw a lot at them and they defended really well and got themselves back into the game, coming in from the try straight on half time, gave them a lot of confidence, and I think that just epitomised the last 10-15 minutes which went their way. But I think we ground our way back into it, and I think the heat got to them, and just a 5-10 minute spell we scored a few tries and then just kind of got away from them.
Mentioned the fact they scored before the half time boots as well. Crucial was it for you guys to score first in that second half?
Yeah, we spoke at half time about just getting back to what was working for us, so we was very disappointed coming in on half time after conceding that try. So like you say, it was something we needed to bounce back from at half time. We spoke about that, and I think we did that.
So they did as well, and some youngsters getting on the score sheet as well, didn't young Josh Walters?
Yeah, certainly. He's come in and done really well for us. You know, he's really stepped up, and I think he's holding his own along with Robbie Ward. You know, he's come in a pivotal position and, like I say, holding his own as well.
How do you feel your time on the pitch, man?
I think it went all right. Got in there, did some tough carries when need to be, and started to click a bit with Callum as well. So that's nice to see.
A couple of MBEs within the dressing room, as it feels to be amongst such high esteem guys and likes of Jamie Peacock and Kevin Sinfield.
Yeah, it's great, you know, coming to this club. I know the calibre of player that was at this club, and it's great for Kev to receive that award. But yeah, like you say, it's great to be around that experience and the kind of player they are and what they bring to the team.
It's always a tricky place to come into the suit. Must be pleased to come away with the 2 points.
Yeah, certainly. I think we knew it was going to be a tough game. Anybody who comes here says it's a real tough encounter, and ours are no different. So it's good to get back to winning ways and good to be going home with the 2 points.
Tell you what, mentioning the MBEs amongst that Leeds dressing rooms, that mean like Tom Briscoe and the rest have got to make the cups of teas for Sir Kev and Jamie Peacock?
Well, you never know, do you? I wonder how they take the tea. We should maybe ask him, shouldn't we? You know, the next time we get the opportunity.
Oh, Jamie and Kev so down to earth, they're not bothered.
They'll be all right. They're real men, aren't they?
Make their own tea. Polish their own boots.
They might even make it for the rest of the team.
They might
never
do.
Know.
Punishment for being amongst a higher aristocracy.
Not
can't say that word.
What?
Exactly.
Is that English?
No.
Where have you dragged that word from? I don't even know what you said.
I don't even know myself.
Was you attempting some French there? Was that what it was?
I was trying to sound posh. I'll stick to just being a Widnesian, shall I?
Yeah, please do.
Okay. He mentioned Josh Walters, by the way, and certainly keeping his place within the team at Leeds Rhinos, and he got on the scoreboard as well as they came off with a hard-fought victory against the Catalan Dragons. He must have fought. And they're going to snatch it until a late penalty dashed the hopes.
Yeah, I mentioned that before, but you're right about Walters. He's really stepped up to the mark, hasn't he? It's now 2 tries in 2 games. And when he made his debut in the Challenge Cup against Lee the other week, few people were questioning it and wondering whether he would last in the first team, you know, or whether it was just going to be like Leeds do a lot with young players, dip him in for a game, take him out for a few. But, you know, he's managed to keep his place, hasn't he? And he looks a good prospect.
So he does look a good prospect. It just shows you that there's a common saying amongst rugby league around the world of rugby league without Hull, Leeds and Wigan, rugby league in this country would be non-existent because the players wouldn't be there.
Well, they certainly produce above the first year, don't they? Do all those sides. But, you know, for me, I think that Leeds do it right, don't they? They always seem to do it right with regards to bringing young players through just at the right time, or bringing that bit of experience in when they need it. I mean, Tom Briscoe coming in this year, although he's been maybe a little bit more off key and not as loud over the last sort of few weeks as when he started over at Leeds. It just shows that they do the business right, don't they?
Certainly do. Mark Snaid, who's been a great signing for Castleford on loan, scored a couple of goals against the Salford Red Devils, and it's been revealed now that Max Snead is now going to leave the Red Devils and join Hull FC.
Yeah, he was never really going to be wanting to go back to Salford, was he, and play third fiddle halfback, considering that they've got Dobson coming over. Locke can play at halfback as well, and you know, they've got Rangy Chase there too. So he was always, if you like, the odd piece in the jigsaw. So he requested a move, which originally Salford knocked back, didn't they, a couple of weeks back. So it's nice to see that Hull, they always flash the cash, don't they, Hull? I don't know where they get it from, but they always end up bringing players over on fairly hefty deals or long-term deals. So, you know, but Mark Snead, he'll continue this progression of players coming from the west side of the Pennines, going over to the east side of the country and making a name for themselves. I'm thinking Danny Tickle did it, didn't he? Played there for several seasons. So, you know, he's in good company there, shall we say.
He'll be joining Leon Price as well, so it'd be interesting to see how that half-back partnership works out.
Actually, it could work, couldn't it? You know, both those players are running half-backs. I've been impressed with Snead, I have to admit. He's goal-kicking, he's
Pity
supreme.
Salford haven't been impressed with him.
It's such a shame, isn't it? You know, he's not had the chances to shine, shall we say, and just got shipped out as soon as they brought Rangy Chase in. But it's a good move for Snead, that, and a good move as well for Leon Price, who must have been thinking over the last couple of seasons, I'm liking this down in the south of France where it's a little bit warmer for me training. It's probably extended his career a little bit, hasn't it?
So he has extended his career a little bit, and like you say, it'd be interesting to see how Leon Price adapts to life with Hull FC next season.
I think the big driving force there is Lee Radford, the coach, because obviously the two of them are teammates over at Bradford, and he's wanting to, you know, bring quite a few players in. There's a few lads who are out of contract. They've always got the basis of a good side, haven't they, Hull? But they lack the consistency. And if you're looking at the league table at the minute, well, you know, they should be in that top 8 without a doubt, and the 10th at the moment, so things need to improve.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Now, listen here, Parker. I'm getting sick and tired of you ribbing me by what I was trying to say before, so I've been practicing.
Okay.
Rugby league aristocracy is what I was trying to say.
As in aristocracy. You say you get his catching. He's catching.
Exactly. That's what I was trying to say.
Why didn't
about
you just
Kevin Sinfield and Jamie Peacock?
Why didn't you just say
and Ray French? He's in that crew as well, isn't he?
Why didn't you just say rugby league royalty? Everyone would have known what you would have meant. You didn't have to try and be fancy.
Listen, I wanted to use a fancy word because we don't really use them in Widnes.
You're a lad from Widnes. You don't use them. You've not even got a GCSE. Stop it. P's above sticks, I say. He's P's above sticks, he is.
Okay, then. Were you impressed by what I was trying to say, though?
I was impressed with you flicking through the thesaurus just before we came back.
Should we move on?
Yes, please.
Right, it's time for Coach's Corner. We've got a new Coach's Corner, a new coach in the Coach's Corner, I should say. Jimmy Lowes makes a welcome back to return to Rugby League. And as expected, he says the challenge at Bradford, it's going to be a tough challenge.
It's a big challenge. It's a big challenge because one or two of the other off-field, you know, the off-field situation as well. But it's a challenge, but let's have a go.
I saw you down here a couple of weeks ago at the Challenge Cup game. Did that just alert your attention to think, hang on, there could be a job to be done here?
No, because, you know, you tend to get little, I don't know, rumours or whatever it might be, but there was nothing. There was nothing coming out. I come down here to just do a little bit of commentary. One of the radio stations there, and it a bit of a coincidence with Warrington as well, you know. But you didn't get an inkling at all that there was anything going to happen. I like to say I wasn't openly or actively seeking to move anyway. So, but when the opportunity arose, then, you know, after thinking about it, they decided to have a bit of a go at it.
It's all happened quite quickly, hasn't it? A week turnaround from registering your interest to being here as head coach.
Yeah, it happened very quickly, but to stand any chance of fighting right to the end, something had to happen pretty quickly, and they've, you know, the chairman and the board have acted very quickly. And
you come in, there's 10 games left. The fans want to know, realistically, can the club still stay in Super League?
There's always a chance, as long as the numbers add up, there's always a chance there. Some tough games over the next few weeks. I know we've got Warrington away and St Helens away in a few weeks as well. So it is tough because we have to go on a big run of games to win. Salford and Wakefield have to lose X amount of games. All we can promise the fans is that, you know, we'll have a go. We'll have a good go. And if, you know, if we do go down, then we'll have a good go coming back up again.
The chairman seems quite committed to the long-term future of this club. But has he set out the plan? If the worst does happen and you go down, what are you expecting?
We've got, plan A's and plan B's, yeah. Yeah, they're very realistic. He is very committed. We spoke at length about that. So, he's 100% here. He's not going anywhere in the short term. And that stability is massive for the off-field, particularly what's gone on over the last few years. So that's all good there. We have got plan A and plan B ready to go. So again, that's just a bit of realism, unfortunately.
Well, Nathan Brown, St Helens head coach, how sweet was that?
That was great. You know, obviously, you know, the derby, and when you're involved in it, you know what it means to both sets of fans. And you know, there was two teams that contributed to a very good game today, and two good sets of fans as well. You know, the Saints fans, obviously, They're our fans, and obviously we appreciate and respect what they did, and the Wigan fans, they play their part in it too. And you know, the manner in which both sets of fans cheer and but hold themselves in a good manner, you know, makes the contest what it is.
The game itself, there was no quarter given or taken, was there? I mean, we were just full on really for 80.
It was, you know, and I thought, you know, when you look at the big picture, you know, I don't think there was a great deal in the game. In the end, it was 3 tries apiece. Physically at times we were on top, physically at times they were on top, and it was a real arm wrestle, wasn't it? And you know, thankfully at the end of the day I thought we deserved the victory. I thought the refereeing was horrible, and Wigan got, you know, a lot of penalties, probably all deserved, but we deserved a lot more than we got, and it was disappointing because we haven't complained once about the refereeing all year, and Wayne's been on the referee's case for the past 6 weeks, and then lo and behold, in the big game at Wigan, poor old St Helens are the side that cops it, and I just find it really, really disappointing. And it sounds like a bit like the NRL, the more you whinge and complain, the better things fall your way, so maybe we need to start whinging a bit more.
I take it you're talking about, I think it got about 3 in that last minute and a half when they were within 4 points, and I couldn't say trying to hand him the game, but I mean, those at the end could have been crucial, couldn't they?
Look, I got no issue with the 3 penalties at the end of the game. I thought they were deserved penalties. A lot of the penalties were deserved, but you know, their first penalty 15 or 18 minutes into the second half, which got him out of trouble and they're under pressure, I could find 5 or 10 that he should have given us in the first 18 minutes, but there was nothing for us and it was all for them. And the penalty count reads that we're a very undisciplined side, which, mate, as I said, we probably deserved every penalty against us tonight, but I can find a lot more against Wigan. And the only thing I can put it down to is that a very good referee's been intimidated by the opposition case for putting him under pressure, and as I said, the more you complain or whinge, the better things might go for us, mate. So maybe we need to join the crew and start getting stuck into officials at half time and get stuck into officials in the immediate all the time and ring up Sharpie and drive him mad, because if it works, we may as well join in.
When Joe Burgess went in at the corner 5 minutes from time, obviously it was disallowed as a try. Did you see it as not a try?
Jesus, one of them ones, wasn't it, 50-50? If it went against us, I certainly wouldn't have been complaining. But went our way. The thing is, they probably shouldn't have been down there. You know, as I said, they'd been piggybacked down there, so it was probably fair for us to get it.
Wow, some strong stuff in the coach's corner.
It was, wasn't it? And that's cool. Just Nathan Brown. He really did let off steam. That's like one of my rants, that.
And I bet you Jimmy Lowe's, welcome back to Rugby League, Jimmy. But I bet he can't say aristocracy.
Yeah, neither can you again now.
So what?
Don't know what's gone wrong. He doesn't need to, though. He's no need to use that word.
He might have to if he gets an MBE for services to Rugby League.
There's one thing. I bet that Nathan Brown isn't now on the referee's Christmas card list, is he?
No. Should we move away from Super League and talk Championship and Championship 1?
See, my favourite part of the show, this.
I think we shouldn't we? And let's big up Gloucestershire Ogles, because they just get better and better under Stevie Mack.
Yeah, I mean, they even beat Hunslet, didn't they, last weekend? That was an outstanding result. And I just think they're playing some really nice stuff at the moment. And it's good that he's been able to bring in a couple of players who have got, maybe, shall we say, more Rugby League experience, because he's got quite a few kids in there who are obviously appreciating his style of coaching and they're starting to knock on the door. But, you know, when you've got Craig Cook, who's been around the Championships as long as he has, playing for the likes of Toulouse, Sheffield and Doncaster, he's a really good player to build the rest of your pack around. I think he's been excellent. But I mean, that win against Hunslet, that has to be the top result of the season in Kingstone Press Championship 1. It doesn't get any easier for London Scholars either. They seem to be going through the horrors at the moment. They can't buy a win. It's a good job that South Wales Scorpions have been worse, in all honesty, because Gateshead Thunder managed to beat them 66-6. That's my highlight of the Championship 1 results from last week.
Certainly the Thunder are putting the Thunder back into Gateshead, aren't they? And they're certainly brushing all sides away, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's good to see them thrashing teams rather than being on the back end of them.
They're climbing up that table as well. They've now played 13 games, won 6 of them, and they're on the edge of the playoffs with them and Hemelstag's level on points and just point difference separating them. So it's nice to see some of these newer sides. I mean, Hemel, you know, climbing up through the ranks as well and starting to put a bit of pressure on. But yeah, Hunslet Hawks, What was I saying the other week? They looked dead set, didn't they, to go up?
And having a wobble.
They're having a bit of a mid-season wobble. It's a good job that York City Knights, they keep winning. They beat Hemel 46-22. And we mustn't discount Oldham as well. They beat Oxford on the road, even though Palfrey, their goal kicker, had a terrible day. Only kicked 3 from 8.
Shocking. Even I could do better than that. Blindfolded.
I'm not convinced.
No,
I've seen your
every kicker has an off day. Kick.
Yeah,
unless your name was Fran O'Bossica, you never missed anything.
Even if you look at his stats, though, he only kicked about 75% of his goals.
Is that all?
Only, yeah. We've got about 5 kickers who do much better than that in Super League at the moment. Not discounting the Championships.
Now, Lee Centurions remain unbeaten still in the Championship, but they were pushed all the way by Dewsbury Rams.
The last couple of games have been pretty close for the Centurions, in all honesty. The week before that, they were pushed all the way by Whitehaven, and it took a late show to get all the points. And you're right, another late showing against Dewsbury. Dewsbury came back from 22-10 down with about 15 minutes remaining. Lee had a player sin-binned. Shane Grady scored a couple of tries in that one, and they look set to go on and provide a shot result. But you can never discount this Lee side. They suddenly find something from somewhere and drag a result out of the pan, you know, just when you don't expect it. Johnny Pownall popping up for 2 late tries, and it's nice to see Johnny getting on the scoreboard as well, because he's been in and out with the team a lot over the course of this season.
Certainly has a big win as well for Halifax, as Sheffield really struggling to make home for them, if that makes sense.
They can't buy a win at home, can they? I think they've only won 2 of their games over there at Owleton. So, you know, they're really struggling and going through the horrors. And as a result, they're getting dragged into this whole potential relegation dogfight. You know, now you wouldn't have been expecting that of Sheffield. They are the reigning champions, of course. They've got some really good players. You know, any side that has the likes of Menzies in it, he's always going to pose problems. But let's face facts, they've played 16 games, they've won 8, they've lost 8, they've only won 4 bonus points, and at the moment, Whitehaven and Workington are just a point and 2 points behind them.
They are lucky for the Eagles. Whitehaven lost out to Donny, but Workington were too strong for Swinton, sorry.
Yeah, that was John Duffy's first game in charge of the Lions, wasn't it? And Workington too strong, although, to be honest, Phil Vevers, he criticised his side. He said the best thing about that game was the result and the journey home.
Wow.
So, you know, that's
strong stuff.
Strong stuff as well, isn't it, from Mr. Vevers?
I take it the karaoke wouldn't have been on the bus on the way up.
Possibly not. But, you know, I've seen enough of Workington to suggest that they are strong enough to get themselves away from that position. And, you know, at the moment, a team that really is flying the flag is Keighley Cougars. They've returned to form with great success, winning 48-6 against Rochdale. And even Featherstone. Well, they've been in the news for all kinds of reasons recently. They are still winning on the field. They beat North Wales Crusaders 56-18. And, well, the week before, again, Halifax probably got the result, didn't they, that they were looking for when they beat Rochdale. Devorty scoring 4 tries. It's rare for a forward to score 4 tries in a game, isn't it?
Well played by Mr. Devorty.
And then, of course, you've got Batley creeping up on the rails as well. It's all getting really interesting, isn't it?
It certainly is. All to play for as well. Bearing in mind, 5 goal down. And like you say, Sheffield just about getting sucked into that fight with both Cumbrian clubs. And be honest with you, North Wales Crusaders are not that far behind. Unfortunately, though, it looks like the fight is up for both Barrow
and Rochdale,
isn't it?
Well, I don't...
there still is plenty of games to play for, and I'm sure they won't be throwing the white towel in just yet.
I don't know, you know, because what I've seen of Rochdale this season, they're a very, very spirited side, and they can put points on teams if they're allowed to play a bit of rugby. North Wales Crusaders are going through the horrors at the moment. In 2 games in charge for Anthony Murray, he's seen his side concede over 100 points.
Get the tackle banks out, lad.
So you think that there could be possibility for that. They are going to be boosted by a couple of lone players, and I hope that it's always sad to talk about relegation because it's such an interesting competition, is the Championship this year, but that relegation dogfight really is starting to bite now, isn't it?
After the Dewsbury versus Lee game, and David caught up with Ewan Dowles, who was obviously disappointed that Dewsbury didn't get the game won, and he talks about his time in Super League as well. Ewan Dowles, a real character within Rugby League. Let's hear what he's got to say.
No, I'm massively disappointed and pretty frustrated as well. You know, we all thought it was a game there for the taking, but you know, we lost at the end of the day. We made some pretty poor errors, didn't complete high, and you know, in this kind of heat and against a top team like Lee, you've got to do that to give yourself a chance. Disappointed, mate, but we've got a decent running now to the end of the season, so take a bit out of that and build.
As a lad in the middle, I mean, it was a tough game anyway, it always is, but you know, given those sort of conditions where sun's on your back, does it make it tougher?
Yeah, of course it does, mate. To be fair though, there's that many errors from both teams. I think we've got plenty of rest today, but you've got a complete high, like 75-80%, which we didn't today, but we'll have a look at the video tomorrow and pick a few things out and hopefully improve. We play again Friday night, so.
Well, that's a quick turnaround, that.
Yeah, it is. We've got Swinton Friday, so must win and build some momentum now.
Sometimes that's the best thing, though, isn't it, to have a game so soon after a loss?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, because we're that frustrated, I think most of us can't wait to get back on the field again and put it right. So, yeah, hopefully we'll react well to it and kick on.
And unfortunately, risk of sounding, you know, and stating the obvious, it was really there for the taking, wasn't it, when, you know, Liam Kay got sin-binned and then man overlap, go in, yeah. Level it up.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you know, I think it was 10 to go and they went down to 12 men. You'd fancy your chances against any team, but... No, we just didn't build pressure. We didn't respect the ball, which at the end of the day it cost us.
About yourself personally, I know that did you step out of retirement to come to Dewsbury this term?
Yeah, I did, mate. I moved back down to Leeds. I was living up in Cumbria for a year, but moved back and got the bug again. So no, it was great to join. Good set of boys and good coach in Morrow. You know, I'm enjoying my rugby again, which I haven't done for a few years, and just hopefully keep playing well and you know, cause a bit of damage in the playoffs.
Because I'm guessing that, you know, particularly Hull fans might have you know, lost touch with you, you know, over the last couple of years perhaps.
Yeah, I still keep in touch with a lot of the boys there, and there's always a few events on that I keep getting invited back to and stuff, so no, they're you know, I hold them close to my heart. I've spent 9 years there and I like to go back, and I'm still in touch, good mates with Lee Radford, so I'm always keeping in touch and seeing how he is.
He's had a bit of a mixed start to his coaching career, but it seems to be turning it around now.
Yeah, he is. I saw they got a draw today, but he is, mate. He's a young coach and he's very ambitious, and you know, speaking to a lot of the boys down there, they really like him, and I think that's half the battle, getting the players on your side and wanting to play for you. So Lee's, you know, he's rebuilding, he's got a lot of players that I don't think, they weren't his team, so he's just trying to rebuild and restructure Hull. There's a lot going on, but he just seems to be doing it, and hopefully he'll do well from it.
You had a season virtually at home, didn't you, last term round up at Workington?
It was still a drive for me, but
you weren't actually based up there, was you?
No, I was in Carlisle, so it's still a
40-50 minute.
So. No, it was good experience. You know, there's the amount of potential that's up there in Cumbria. There's, you know, I've seen the young kids and the amateur game. It's thriving, you know, and it'd be good to see a team in Super League one day. But you know, whether it happens, I don't think it probably will. But which is a shame, really, because they love the game up there, and I think they're missing a bit of a trick of the RFL. But we'll see. You never know.
I suppose for yourself as well, do you feel like you're giving something back now during these sort of, with all due respect, later years of your career?
Yeah, I do, mate. I mean, they've made me captain down here now the last few weeks with Wayne being injured. But I like to think I've got, you know, I've played over 300 games now, so I've got a fair bit of experience. So yeah, just anything I can do, I'll try and pass it on, little bits of tips here and there, and just hopefully influence the lads a little bit and make a bit of a difference.
Any other ambitions left in the game? I suppose I guess a run towards the grand final would be just the job, wouldn't it?
Yeah, of course it would. I think we've got the team to do a bit of damage in the playoffs and get to the final. I think our problem is just consistency. We've been outstanding some weeks, and then we've dropped off for a week or two. If we can nail that consistency and, you know, put teams to bed, which we haven't been doing. I mean, we had a great win against Doncaster last week, and we've dropped off a bit this week, but still could have got it. You know, once we get that, we'll be a force to reckon with, I think.
I think that's certainly, you know, something to look forward to from a Dewsbury point of view.
Yeah, of course it is. I mean, if you look at our fixtures now, you know, the next nine games we're playing teams in and around us or below us, so it's a great chance for us to try and build momentum going into the playoffs, and you know, not hopefully not drop down into that fight for the bottom five. So I don't think that'll be an issue, but we've got a bit to look forward to, I think.
Certainly a man with a lot of character within the game. Champions Cup winner many years ago with Hull FC, and now he's saying there should be a Super League team in Cumbria. Some outspoken views there.
Yeah, we've got them all tonight, haven't we? We've got Nathan Brown criticising referees, and Ewan Dowe saying he wants Super League rugby in Cumbria. Hey, let's have it, though. That's what we like, isn't it? That's why we love rugby league.
Certainly is, and Joel Tompkins, he's going to get a taste of rugby league in Cumbria, because the rumour on the horizon is the fact that Wigan might be sending him to Workington on dual contract.
Oh, that'd be interesting for the championship as well, wouldn't it? Yeah. You know, and for Joel, I mean, he spent a bit of time in the championship before, hasn't he? A few years ago when he was with Widnes on loan. Good player. Hope that he comes back. And yeah, but I was just really taken aback, to be honest, about how down to earth Ewan Dowes is, and the fact that he's been talked out of retirement. Great. It's a good story.
It certainly is, and it's good to see he's got that enthusiasm for the game. Even though I was half expecting him, when you put the question to him, you've got any ambitions left in the game, I was expecting him to say be a coach.
I think everybody expects that, doesn't they, when you do an interview with a rugby player. So what do you want to do after you've retired? And it's like, I don't want to talk about it. I'm still playing. Leave me alone.
Without a doubt. A couple of players swapping clubs for next season. Hutchinson Rovers have announced the signing of Wigan centre Darryl Goulding for next year. Warrington have signed Fijian international Ashton Sins from the North Queensland Cowboys from next year, and they're also keeping hold of Chris Hill, who signed another contract extension.
You know what I think was the telling deal in Ashton Sims coming over to play for Warrington next season? I reckon it was your interviews during the World Cup. You've talked him over, haven't you?
He's a Metallica fan as well, so expect plenty of Metallica tracks on the Warrington beatbox in the dressing rooms after the game.
Yeah, with him and Chris Hill knocking around, it's certainly heavy rock, isn't it, over at Warrington?
One player who's already over here getting ready to experienced Super League is Kevin Lockie. Do you think he's going to be the man for the job for Red Devils?
I think he's a really good player, to be honest. He's represented New Zealand, played in the last World Cup. I honestly do think he's a bit of a game breaker, but hasn't been able to break past Sam Tompkins, has he? But
no.
Let's hope that he illuminates Super League very shortly. I can't believe that they're already talking to Salford of pitching him in when they only landed yesterday.
Exactly.
Seems crazy, doesn't it?
Without a doubt. One match to look forward to, by the way. We've had a magic weekend and games going on the road. South Wales Scorpions are about taking one match in the Championship one to Cardiff Arms Park.
Really?
Oh, that's interesting.
That's a great stadium, that, isn't it? Next door to the Millennium Stadium. I think that's a superb ground.
Without a doubt. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. They've actually named it the fixture. It's going to be London Scholars on Sunday, July the 27th.
To be honest, it's not the first time that rugby league has been played at that venue. Remember the old South Wales team from the mid-90s? Even Andy Currier had a few games for them during his latter years before he packed up.
Yeah, we've got the facts here. Rugby league was first played at the Cardiff Arms Park in 1996 when a crowd of 6,000 watched St Helens beat Sheffield.
Yeah, and also played by the
Statos, was that? The power of the internet. Oh, I shouldn't say that, should I? We'll get in trouble.
No, you won't get in trouble with that. You know, we are well researched, so we're just showing that we have plenty of research techniques, aren't we?
Without a doubt. That's us done and dusted. David, nice to be back in the studio rather than being out on the concourse, but I did enjoy that pie.
Yeah, you're obsessed, absolutely obsessed with pies. I'm going to bring you one next time round.
Hey, before we go away then, Park, here, let's just thank Mark Wilson from Yorkshire Radio and Steve Manning for getting all the Nathan Brown and Jimmy Lowe's for us for the Coach's Corner.
They do a sterling job for us, don't they, on this show. We do appreciate everything, and we appreciate everybody listening in as well.
You've been listening to The Final Hooter with Adrian Jackson and Dave Parkinson, only on Radio General, Hospital Radio for Warrington, and loverugbyleague.com.